Bacteria, they aren't fussy about where they settle down and multiply. The gut of a human, the gut of a pig, the gut of a cow will do nicely, thank you very much. But they're not the only thing we share with farm animals. When the bacteria turn nasty, we use many of the very same antibiotics to treat our infections. We know that antibiotic resistance is a problem. One of the most serious public health challenges we face, says the head of the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control, Dr. Mark Springer. Hardly a surprise, given that it kills 25,000 Europeans every year. Now, the European Commission wants to do something about this. They published a plan in 2011. Half of the actions address the use of antibiotics on farms. But it turns out that we know little about antibiotic use on Irish farms because the Department of Agriculture does not collect the information. Now, Ella McSweeney has written about this in the Irish Times, and she joins me now. Good morning, Ella.
Good morning, Pat.
So, we don't know. That's the bottom line. There's lots of it being used out there, but we don't know.
We don't know. I mean, I think, you know, first of all, very important to say that Irish farmers are very responsible in their use of antibiotics in general. But we don't know, and it was certainly quite a shock to me to learn that the Department of Agriculture doesn't collect the data on antibiotic use on Irish farms. But this really is a global problem because we know, as you say, we share bacteria, we share antibiotics with farm animals. We know that we also are told not to misuse them ourselves, to make sure that when we do get antibiotics, we complete the full treatment. Yeah. Doctors are encouraged not to give us antibiotics. Sometimes hard when you pay 50 or 60 quid to see a doctor for
them to... And he won't even give you a prescription.
Not the main so-and-so prescription. Yeah. But we also know that they're used in agriculture. Last month, the Food and Drink Administration in the US released a report that they had to release showing that 80% of all antibiotics used in America, 80% are used in agriculture.
On farm animals instead of on humans, and 20% on humans then.
Very serious. And the World Health Organization wants to ring fence three classes of antibiotics for human use because they say they are critically important to human medicine. Their concern is that worldwide the use of these three classes has increased eightfold in a decade in farming. So this is a global problem, this is a European problem, and the question is that we don't know is whether it's an Irish problem or not.
Right. Now, which are the ones that we share with animals at the moment, which antibiotics?
We share an awful lot of the antibiotics with animals. Now, some, it is important to say, some of the, with the Food and Drink Administration, some of the antibiotics used are, one class is only used in farm animals. But apart from that, we share all of them. So it's very important to know what is happening in agriculture when it comes to antibiotic use and what is happening, most importantly, to the bacteria and how they are becoming resistant to antibiotics.
So they're attacked by these weapons and then they develop defences against these weapons. That's the way it works. They mutate, and given that the life cycle of a bacterium is very quick,
20 minutes.
Compared to us. So they can change and adapt. I mean, it's the theory of evolution, isn't it?
There is this lovely story, the story of the little girl, the pigs, and MRSA, very nicely told by Maren McKenna in her book Superbug. MRSA, methicillin resistant Staphylococcus aureus. Staphylococcus aureus, of course, a bacterium. The methicillin is a class of antibiotics that was brought about in 1960. Because Staph A was getting resistant to penicillin. And so doctors were thrilled. They had methicillin to combat Staph A. Staph A is in our noses, in our armpits, but when it gets in our bloodstream, it's a problem. 11 months after methicillin was invented, was brought about and used in 1960, the first case of MRSA came about. So this resistance happens very, very quickly. Fast forward to 2004, a six-month-old girl in Nijmegen in Holland got sick. She needed heart surgery. As is routine in Dutch hospitals, they screen everyone going into hospitals for MRSA, and they found that she had MRSA. They then treated her, they put her in isolation, they decolonised her. She didn't get better. She didn't get better. The MRSA wouldn't leave her body. They tested her parents. They were carriers. They tested her parents' friends. They were carriers. The interesting thing when they asked their parents, what is it that you do for a living? We're pig farmers and all our friends are pig farmers.
Did they test the pigs?
They tested the pigs. The pigs had the MRSA. Now, they couldn't, what they call, type it. They couldn't find out what version, what type, what strain of MRSA it was. And so they called it non-typeable, MRSA-NT. But eventually, about 60 miles away, a few months later, a woman got sick. This little girl wasn't sick, remember. She just needed heart surgery. She wasn't sick from the MRSA. She was a carrier. But this woman got sick. She wasn't passed it on to her baby. And it was the same strain of MRSA. Eventually, the scientists found out what strain it was. And they called it MRSA ST398. And what's called pig MRSA was born. And what was
so that's in humans. It's pigs, but it's jumped across, if you like, the species barrier, although there isn't in this case because it's a common bacterium. It jumped across, and there we have people with what is called pig MRSA.
So it went from the pigs to this six-month-old girl, and the story began. But last year, US scientists found out that actually the story began much further back. It jumped from humans into pigs. When it was in pigs, it acquired the resistance to another class of antibiotics called the tetracyclines, which is the way in which you actually identify MRSA, ST398. And so in pigs, they said that it acquired this resistance as a result of farm antibiotic exposure. It then went back into humans in a much tougher way, more armoury around it. And what this all means is the overuse of antibiotics in pig farming, intensive pig farming in Holland and other parts of Europe, has meant that this particular bacterium has got these incredible resistances. Yeah. So that when you have a six-month-old child who is a carrier, you can't get rid of it.
Now, MRSA, ST398, has it been found in these islands?
Closer to home. Really worrying. Last year, to the alarm of the UK dairy industry, they found it in milk. In the dairy sector.
Now, presumably, pasteurising milk kills off
100%. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Although one scientist from NUI Galway said to me, you'd be worried a little bit about the DNA not being fully killed. And bacteria are amazing in your gut at taking up DNA, bits of DNA that haven't been killed, and using that DNA as part of their new armoury. Little bit of a worry. But what was also worrying in Ireland is last October, it was discovered that a retired gentleman in a nursing home in the west of Ireland had been infected with MRSA ST398, and he was a part-time cattle farmer in his days. So this...
there's no routine screening for this. We don't know how many retired farmers or otherwise, or pig farmers or dairy farmers, have this.
It goes back to the question that all the scientists that I spoke to in Ireland and vets as well said, which is we need to know the information. The department needs to find out how much antibiotic use in farm animals, because then we can match it to antibiotic use in humans.
Okay,
as well.
Now, it's one thing if you think of intensive poultry farming where antibiotics... I don't know what the technique is. Do they put it in the little droppers? Is that routine for them?
They do.
And then there's a withdrawal period and so on.
It's very important for people. This is not a scare story as such, certainly not about Irish farming, because there is responsible use and Irish farmers are very careful about withdrawal periods as well.
What I'm thinking of is our cattle are out having grass. I mean, they're not intensively farmed. So you would expect not to have to use antibiotics in a way that would lead to resistance in cattle.
Yeah, and the big question certainly from people that I've spoken to is the finding last year in the UK dairy industry of MRSA ST398 in milk a warning to Irish farmers who, remember, are really scaling up Irish and beef. I mean, under the Department of Agriculture's Food Harvest 2020 targets, you're talking about an increase in milk output by 50%, an increase in beef by 40%. This is wonderful, but it comes with its own pressures. And especially, Pat, in an environment that we've seen with the horse meat scandal, where supermarkets are pressurising and general public is putting pressure as well for cheap food. Farmers are being pushed to the periphery. Now, not to Mark Holmes, and I think this was a very interesting comment. He led the UK team that found the MRSA 398 in milk, said the downward price pressure put on farmers by supermarkets can increase antibiotic usage. He said if farmers were not screwed into the ground by the supermarkets and allowed to get a fair price for their milk, they would be able to use fewer antibiotics.
Because if, for example, you have an animal that needs treatment, you just take them out of the food chain while they're having their antibiotics or whatever. When they're better, they go back in. At the moment, there would be the pressure to feed them the antibiotics and keep them going to get to maximise your yield.
I think it's the overall pressure for high efficiency, which is a very good thing, but high efficiency at what cost? I mean, there are two examples, I think, for Irish farming where antibiotic use is reducing. Sales of vaccines have tripled in the last couple of years in Ireland, which is a good thing. So vaccines instead of antibiotics. I mean, nobody should argue that you can't use antibiotics when a cow or a human shows clinical signs of something. So when a cow has this painful udder infection mastitis, nobody should say, don't give that cow antibiotic. Give the cow antibiotics and let that cow get better. The question is, during the dry period of cows, when they're not producing milk before they go into calf again, they are routinely on Irish dairy farms and dairy farms across Europe given
preventative
antibiotics. Healthy animals getting antibiotics to stop them from getting mastitis. Mm. I spoke to Dr. Fionnuala McCoy from Teagasc and Animal Health Ireland, who said, if you disinfect the cow's teats, which most Irish farmers do, you can reduce the incidence of mastitis by 50%. She said farmers need to take an extra few minutes to really clean the teats, but time can be pressured as herds get bigger. Going back to that point where you're talking about an increase in intensification causing problems, potentially.
Yeah, and basically intensification means less time per animal, if you want to put it that way, for a given number of workers on the farm. We don't know enough about the use of antibiotics on Irish farms. What can we know? Do we know the sales of farming antibiotics generally?
We know two things. First of all, Professor Seamus Fanning, a UCD food expert, when I asked him, what about antibiotic use in Irish farms, said to me, Ella, that's a good question. I wish I had an answer for you as a scientist, as a researcher. He would love that data too. As I said, everyone says we need this information. We need someone to be collating this. We do know the sales of antibiotics in Ireland, of authorised sales of antibiotics, because the European Commission made the Irish Medicine Board collect this from 2009 onwards. And this shows that antibiotic use is certainly increasing. And if we look at those three classes that the WHO wants to ring fence, between 2009-2010, there was a 50% increase in sales of those in Irish farming in those three classes. So, you know, also tetracyclines, which is the class of antibiotics that MRSA ST398 is resistant to, that accounted for 36% of all antibiotics sold in Ireland for veterinary use in 2010. We don't have any data after that.
Now, you know, when you want to take an antibiotic yourself, you have to go to the doc and you have to get a prescription. Yeah. Whether it's prescribed rightly or wrongly is a question for a different time. But on farms, it's not necessarily veterinary supervised all the time, is it?
Again, you know, farmers are very responsible about this. And while the department may not be sending signals by not collating this information, shockingly, farmers know that antibiotic use needs to be carefully done.
Yeah, but the vet might be on the farm from one end of the year.
There is this derogation that we got, and it is one that vets and scientists have said to me they're worried about. And that is that vets only need to be on the farm once every 12 months to prescribe antibiotics on Irish farms. There is a good reason for that, Pat, which is if I was a farmer with 150 cows and I needed to call the vet out every time I needed, you know, the antibiotics, you're talking about an awful lot of money, 100 quid a go, and farmers can't afford that unless we're all prepared to spend more on food. They can't do this. So there has to be another way. But vets I've spoken to said farmers, there's a difficulty there. Once a year is not enough. And also the intramammary antibiotics I spoke about for mastitis, dairy co-ops, a vet in the dairy co-op is allowed to prescribe them, having not been on the farm. There are a few issues that perhaps need to be addressed. But again, really important to stress to people that the general use of antibiotics, from my understanding, is very responsible.
Okay, last thing really is about testing of meat. We've heard about the lasagnas being tested for horse meat and so on. Is there any testing for residues of antibiotics?
I've been looking into residue testing of food, and really it is so minuscule that a scientist in Queen's University said to me, Ella, if you ate a steak, you'd be really the blessed one to know that it was actually residue tested. There's 6 million cattle or so in Ireland. About 5,000 of them were residue tested for antibiotics last year. Of that, only about 5 or 6 were positive, mainly for tetracyclines.
So that's not bad. I mean, it's a very small sample. It's 0.1%.
It's a tiny percentage across Europe. This is not an Irish issue. Across Europe, I mean, even in the horse meat scandal, when you're looking at this phenylbutazone tiny, tiny percentages of the horse meat was ever tested for abuse. So it is an issue really that possibly needs to be looked at. But the fundamental question about this story, from my perspective, it seems to me, is the question of cheap food and the pressures that farmers are being put under.
Have we come to the end of the age of antibiotics? We have to get some
the miracle
different weapons.
Age. Yeah. I think so. I think that that's generally what the consensus is that the era of antibiotics looks like it's coming to an end. And the question is, are we entering a new era of vaccines? I know that most major pharmaceutical companies are looking at a vaccine for MRSA at the moment. It's a very hard one to get.
Helen McSweeney, fascinating stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.